Hello and welcome to the Great Lakes Analytics and Sports Conference, Sports Analytics Podcast. I'm Scott Tappa, Director of the Conference, and I'd like to invite you to attend our event June 21st at the University of Wisconsin-Stevens Point. We have a fantastic lineup taking shape. Please visit www.uwsp.edu/analyticsconference to learn more. Today I'm speaking with two of our presenters, Uwe Nyhaus and Michael Schultz of Nordakademie Hochschule der Wirtschaft in Elmshorn, Germany. At the Great Lakes Analytics and Sports Conference, Uwe and Michael will deliver a talk titled Live Measurement of Player Performance During Soccer Matches, a Text Mining Approach. Gentlemen, welcome.
Welcome. Thank you.
Thank you for having us. Great pleasure.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to have you. So why don't we just get started with how I get started with everyone, one at a time. If you could just tell me about your academic backgrounds and what inspired you to do some work in sports analytics.
So we both have a background in computer science with a strong focus on information systems. So it's maybe not the normal background of other presenters on the conference. We have especially focused on business analytics, and this is a very interesting part of computer science at the moment. So 15 years ago, business analytics was mainly about standard reporting and maybe ad hoc analytics. But now we have a lot of very interesting methods, like data mining methods or data science methods, or even advanced analytics with strong focus on mathematics and statistics. And these methods are very good for business analytics questions, but they are also very good for other questions. And that is why we leave our normal business and try something in the sport analytics context.
I'm a particular, as a computer scientist, interested in formal languages, programming languages. And through that, I became also acquainted with the analytics of natural languages. They have many similarities, but also many very interesting differences. Right now, we use text analytics in the context of suitability assessment to identify, for example, promising job candidates and future students. And written text is generally hard to analyze, but provides a rich source of information. And in sports analytics, we have seen that you usually, or at least here in Germany, we usually use numeric data, the number of kilometers run, the number of goals. Yeah. But you hardly use text right now, and that's why we thought it would be interesting to use this approach in the area of sports analytics as well.
So is this the first sports analytics topic or question that you've worked on?
Yeah, it's the first one. So as I said, these methods we use in the business analytics context are not that easy to understand, and so we try to find a domain everybody knows of, everybody is interested in, and to show these complex methods based on a simple domain.
Okay. So how did you come upon soccer then? I'm sorry, I say soccer. I'm in the United States, football.
Yeah, we understand that.
I have to catch myself. Obviously, you are located in the company and in the country of the defending World Cup champions. I know I read the book Das Reboot a couple years ago that was speaking of how the German football program was able to build from the mid-2000s to be the 2014 World Cup champions, and analytics was a part of it. It was part of what the author posited as being a reason for it. Is analytics part of the football culture in Germany right now, or is it still very much a small niche, minor part of it?
No, I think it's very implemented in soccer. We have a lot of statistics at the end of a match, but these statistics are very simple. So, like Uwe said, we count the goals or the fouls or the kilometers. We do not use advanced analytics at the moment, I think, in soccer.
Yeah, about 2 years ago, we tried to, or some members of the German team tried to find a better way for something called Passquote. How do you say that? Do you make a pass or a pass? And the number of passes that reach one of your own team, so it's a successful pass. And this was a measure how well a team controls the ball. But recently they figured sometimes if you have a very high pass quote, just means that you stand in your own area and don't move along. So they try to come up with another measurement. If you make a pass and you count the number of opponents between the ball and the goal, the goalkeeper, then this is a much better measurement of a successful team than just counting how many times they pass the ball. So there's some, I would say, some analytics taking place. It hasn't reached the amount that the United States is doing, especially if you look at football or baseball. If you look at it's called Moneyball, the famous movie about that. we still have a long way to go for that, and I also think that. Soccer or football, as we say it, is a very emotional game, and the usual participants are not data science people or number people, and they don't really trust the results very easily. So there's some convincing to do.
Yeah, and that's an issue that I think spans continents. That very much the same issue over here. Maybe we're further along in our progression of acceptance of that, but that sounds very familiar. So you mentioned that there are many stats statistics that are available at the conclusion of a game, shots, passes, things of that nature. Yeah. Talk about your topic for the conference. It sounds like you are trying to tackle a way to provide live in-game analysis of certain actions and events. Give me a sense of what you are looking to measure.
Yes, so our idea is that we have a lot of different commentaries during the game. So we have the TV commentator who comments the match, and we have a lot of websites with live commentaries, textual commentaries on it, and our idea is to collect these data with text data. It's pretty easy. We can get them from the websites. With the TV commentary, it's not so easy, so we have to get these speech to text, and after that we can analyze it. So this is not so easy to do, but when we have these data, we can do a text analytics, and especially a special form of sentiment analysis. And we can look at these data and analyze how emotional they are. So maybe matches at the moment not that interesting. So there are a lot of commentaries, but nobody uses emotional words. And maybe it is very interesting at the moment, and there are a lot of emotional words spoken. So, and we try to analyze these words.
So just go into that a little bit further, using emotions to describe, let's say, value and a player effectiveness. So that means, like, let's say a winger dribbles the ball down the wing and sends in a good cross, right? You would assume that the announcer's voice or the commentator's voice would grow louder, maybe more excited, depending on the quality of the pass. Is that the sort of thing that you're looking to quantify in this?
Not even the pronouncement, but more the words they say. So it's a fantastic pass, for example. Then we use the word fantastic and try to compare it with the player's name said before, and then we try to match that.
Okay.
So we first transform it into written text, and use only the written text, which is the only source on the website anyway. And for the live commentary, we transform it in written text first.
Okay, so it's specific words then that are used in conjunction with players' performance. So how then do you then attribute a numerical value to these words? And again, I think I said this in the questions I sent you beforehand. I'm familiar with ratings of players from a 1 to 10 scale, right? With 10 being the greatest. Does your system aim to replicate that or do something similar to that in terms of assessing numerical values to the words that are being used to describe their play?
In Germany, we use a rating from 1 to 6, which is basically related on the school grades. 1 is the best grade you can get, and 6 is the worst.
Okay.
Usually, players get something between 2 and 4. We try a numerical value between basically positive 1 and negative 1, and it relates the number of positive words in a certain time period, for example 5 minutes, to the number of negative words.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, great. That's very interesting. So what are the implications of your approach? Let's say that your approach was refined and accepted. How could it be used in real time? Would it be used mainly in broadcasts of games on television or radio, or again, live internet commentary? Could it be used by managers or coaching staffs to help them better understand their players during the game? How could this be used?
So the main target group would be media and fans, we think. So in Germany, there are a lot of matches in parallel. I don't know if it is the same in the US. So for fans, it's not that easy to decide which game to look at. And this key figure we try to implement, it would be easier to find a match that is interesting at the moment. So it's not so easy at a soccer match to look at the results. So it's 1-0 or something like that. So it's not so easy to find out if this match is interesting at the moment. The score doesn't say that much. So that would be one area to use these findings we made. But it's also maybe interesting for managers to see when special players are good in the game and when they are not that good. So maybe, yeah.
So there could be a 0-0 game, yet there was all sorts of exciting action happening. You know, fantastic passes, shots, saves, excuse me, tackles by defenders. And the score could be misleading as to the quality of the match, correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
And so, you could also, for example, see the development. Sometimes they are very determining points in the game. For example, there was the Champions League final about a week ago, and there was a goal, and the goalkeeper mainly made a terrible mistake that shouldn't happen on in football at all, actually,
right,
and
right.
It all turned down from that. And you can easily see that the commentary changes drastically at this point, and you would it would be easy to understand that something dramatic happened at this point, and you don't have to read through all the text of the commentaries.
So you're referring to Karius, Liverpool's goaltender, goalkeeper who made the really poor pass that Karim Benzema knocked into the goal for Real Madrid. So going off your methodology, were there words to describe what he did? You don't see that action happen much, right? Not in a top level match like that. I mean, what would that have looked like given your scale and your model of quantifying these things?
Actually, looking at the game, right now we have basically a positive and a negative category of emotional words. And I was thinking maybe we should have a third category for pity. because they it was a mistake, but it was such a dramatic result for the whole team and also another goal. Maybe we have to find more categories than just positive or negative. It was very interesting to, if you look at the commentary in general, we thought we could basically take the regular approach to analysis, but commentators don't write or don't speak normal sentences. They have a kind of special vocabulary, kind of special syntax, and some words that are positive or negative in normal speech have a specific meaning in football, and you really have to look at that and find your own dictionary to make sure that you get the right emotions.
Yeah, it's funny. As we continued, I was thinking of another example from the Champions League that would tie into the emotional impact on a game. And I'm sure you guys watched this, but in the semifinals when Bayern Munich was playing Real Madrid and James Rodriguez scored that goal, and this was at Madrid. And do you guys know what I'm talking about with this? Did you see the game? Okay, so James Rodriguez is on loan from Madrid.
Only on pay TV, I think.
He's on loan from Madrid to Bayern, and he scored against his parent club, Madrid. And rather than celebrating like no one would do to help with the emotional boost and the emotional improvement from the team, he was almost apologetic to the crowd. He was very subdued and quiet. And I saw some commentators say after the match that they thought that actually hurt Bayern in that they did not get the emotional boost from scoring a goal that you should have gotten, and ultimately Madrid advanced on by one goal, I believe it was. So if you're not familiar with that, just I apologize for the for the tangent. But, anyway, so your data from your study used data from the 2017 Confederations Cup, correct? Mm-hmm. And that was, of course, won by Germany, because what is it not run by Germany, right? Germany beat Chile 1-0 in the final of that. When you went back, did you compare the results of your approach to any other metrics or any other things that were done from that? And how did it compare?
Yes, we did. For example, the player of the match is relatively easy to compare with our results. So we can look at the sentiments and the emotions we find out and compare it with the results of the official FIFA announcement who was the player of the match. And this works pretty fine. So the results are comparable between our results and the official results. But the advantage of our analysis is that we can look into details. We can not only look at this aggregate level, we can also look into detail and find out at which minute the player was very good or very bad.
Okay. So looking at it, it looks just on the website, it looks like Ter Stegen was the man of the match. Is that correct?
Yes, right.
And that matched up with what your data analysis showed too?
Sorry?
And that was the same as...
Our data showed the same, yes.
Okay. And did he make several outstanding saves or have any outstanding ball distribution that led to a goal, or what was it about his play that you analyzed that suggested he was the man of the match?
So the goalkeeper is always a bit complicated to analyze with our data, because if the other players are very good, the goalkeeper has no work to do. So he may be very good, but only in a few scenes. But commentators like to talk about the goalkeeper when he has ball and when he gets the ball after a corner or something like that. So we have some emotional findings of the commentators used, and there are no mistakes Ter Stegen made, so he was the man with the most good emotions.
So what change improvements or what more would you like to do to your methodology of this project to help improve it in the future? Do you have any ideas for that?
We have collected more than 30,000 words, and not all of these words are strictly related to the performance of players. You sometimes, especially at the beginning of the match, you get a lot of background, the history, and all of that. And especially if you have a national game, we have commentators from Germany and also from Austria, a German-speaking neighboring country. We find that on certain websites, or depending on which teams are playing, you get some sort of bias into that, which turns out that is changing the results you get. And we would need to identify such bias and then normalize our data against it, because depending who's commenting, or which country, or maybe or which team, we would like to adapt our approach and fine-tune it this way. We find out that a lot of things that are said presuppose a lot of knowledge by the commentators. That, like in our conversation right now, you have to know the history, maybe the game before, maybe something about Maradona and his hand and how he used it. It would be for us important to identify such parts of the speech, because they don't really relate to the actual results. We get a lot of positive and negative words, but sometimes we need to exclude them from the action. It works better when the game is active, but when nothing really is happening, sometimes commentators say things that are not really related to the game, and we have to find out which is about the game and which is what is not about the game.
Yeah, that's a definitely important distinction to make. And the bias part is definitely, I know in the sports that I watch in the United States, bias is definitely a perceived trait of many of our announcers. So what advice would you have what guidance would you have for anybody looking to start a project in sports analytics? How did you two gentlemen start, and how would you advise anyone else who is interested?
So that's not so easy for us. So we are specialized in business analytics. And as I said, there are a lot of new methods used in business analytics, and there are a lot of easy to use computer applications for these methods. And we find out that these methods may be used also for sports analytics. So it may be interesting even for persons who want to get involved into sports analytics to look at these business analytics applications, because they really easy to use. You don't need that much of statistics or other experience. So you can look at these methods, try to use these methods, and try to implement it also into sports analytics.
Yeah, it's actually really interesting. It's basically for us that we have a large tool set of methods to analyze, and these tools can be applied to very, very many different things. And sometimes it's interesting to find a new combination of tool and thing that you analyze, something that hasn't been used before. And because football is such an important part in the German culture, it's like you have American football, you have baseball, you have ice hockey, you have basketball. We have football. We have soccer. We have soccer, basically.
You have handball too. Handball is great.
you can't. Well, it's, to put it this way, soccer is the only only sports where you can get rich in Germany, and you can really get rich. All the other sports are basically on a very, very different level. Because of the upcoming World Championship. That was a topic everybody is talking about. We in our department constantly talking about the Bundesliga, which is the premier division in Germany, and about the upcoming World Championship. And so it's actually we have the tools, and we said let's apply it to this new field in a different way that hasn't been done before. And we would suggest. if you have some area that is very interesting for you, look at the tool set and maybe you can get very, very new and interesting results from it.
So what is everyone around the office saying about Leroy Sané being left off the roster for the...
We have a saying in Germany that there's only one national coach, but basically everybody is also a national coach.
We have that saying here too.
Yeah. And you have about like 80 million different views on that. And some will be right and some will be wrong. People only know in 5 weeks, I guess.
Yeah,
well, it's you can't take everybody, and it's to quote Mark Twain, it's difficult to make predictions, especially if they concern the future.
Yeah. you have a good coach, and you have more than enough good players. So anyway, looking to conclude this, what is a piece of reading material that you might suggest for somebody interested in learning more about analytics, whether it be a book, a website, a blog, anything like that? What do you read to help inform you on this topic?
Yeah, we thought of it, and that's not so easy. So we thought books of Thomas Davenport are pretty interesting. They are focused on business analytics, but they are really easy to read and very interesting. They don't go that deep. So you may get also ideas for sports analytics when reading them.
Okay. Thomas Davenport, is that who?
Thomas H. Davenport, yes.
Okay, great. Thank you. Appreciate that. Guys, where can people connect with you if they're looking to learn more about your work?
So we have a list of publications on our website, nordacademy.de. And there are also our email addresses. So if there are interests, please contact us.
Very good. Very good. My guests today, again, have been Uwe Neuhaus and Michael Schulz of Nordacademy Hochschule der Wirtschaft in Germany. And at the Great Lakes Analytics and Sports Conference, these gentlemen will deliver a talk titled Live Measurement of Player Performance During Soccer Matches, a Text Mining Approach. Gentlemen, thanks for taking the time to speak with me today.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for having us.
And thank you for listening at the Great Lakes Analytics and Sports Conference. Will be Thursday, June 21st at the University of Wisconsin-Stevens Point. Visit www.uwsp.edu/analyticsconference for details. And make sure to follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. The Twitter handle is @analyticsconf. Thanks for listening.